Israel is portrayed as a very religious, very conservative country, and the fact that Israel can have a gay member in the Knesset is something that people are not used to.
Eight Women is a kind of whodunit mixed with a musical, so it's a very experimental movie, and I have a cast with the eight most famous French actresses.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Australian Democrats replace their first openly gay party leader, but an Israeli gay activist cracks the Knesset's glass ceiling, and France's finest divas glow in a gay director's musical murder mystery. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news interaffecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 5th, 2002. The Australian Democratic Party has replaced its first openly gay leader. Senator from West Australia Brian Gregg served 6 weeks as an appointed interim party leader after infighting forced his predecessor to resign. But this week he lost a mail-in vote by ADP members to Senator from Queensland Andrew Bartlett by what the party described only as a clear majority. Gregg took his defeat philosophically, saying, "Everybody who runs in a competition likes to win, but life is a journey, not a destination." Gregg expressed pride in the peace and stability he was able to bring as leader to the contentious ADP senators, whose meetings during his tenure he described as awkward but civil. He extended his support to Bartlett, and indeed the two appeared to agree on most issues during a month of debates around the country in what the party called a consensus campaign. In the course of that campaign, an elderly Melbourne woman tucked a note in his pocket that said she'd enjoyed his talk, but he really needed a new suit and should shorten his trousers. Gregg listens to the electorate. He bought a new suit the next day.
Another vote in Australia by the creditors of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras agreed this week to an arrangement to put the world-famous Pride celebration into the hands of a coalition of local community groups. Devastating debt had forced the former Mardi Gras organization into voluntary administration earlier this year. Now, the AIDS Council of New South Wales, NSW's Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, Queer Screen, and the group Pride will take over as a coalition officially named New Mardi Gras, with a board composed of two representatives from each organization. The creditors agreed to allow that group to purchase the former organization's real and intellectual property with a series of payments over the next 18 months to total no more than $350,000 Australian dollars. The first payment of $150,000 is due in late October, so fundraising began immediately. But the arrangement further improves the chances of the 25th Mardi Gras parade taking place on March 1st, as already arranged with the NSW Police and the South Sydney Council. Although the parade will have to be less expensively staged than in recent years, the traditional launch, party, fair day, and festival events are also being planned.
South Africa's 13th annual Gay Pride Parade and its 30 floats drew a crowd of some 20,000 in Johannesburg this past week. Originally a daring protest against both anti-gay discrimination and apartheid, the parade is now described by the head of the Gauteng Tourism Authority as part of the country's heritage. For the first time since South African President Thabo Mbeki took office, his spokesperson provided an official letter of greeting as what it called a matter of pride and pleasure.
There is no annual Pride celebration in Greece, but in late September, the second International Rainbow Cultural Festival was held on the island of Mykonos, long a popular gay tourist destination.
More than 35,000 people turned out for Wales' fourth Mardi Gras parade and festival in the capital city Cardiff in early September. Wales' First Minister, Rhodri Morgan, said the event marked the Welsh Assembly's support for equality of opportunity.
Also in the UK, thousands turned out for Manchester's Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras despite pouring rain in late August, after local authorities backed off at the last minute from plans to stop liquor sales at the festival's main street party.
September saw the opening of a government-supported community center in the Philippines that offers arts training for Manila's impoverished gays and lesbians, particularly youth. It's named for the late prize-winning filmmaker Ishmael Bernal.
The Paris City Council and openly gay Mayor Bertrand Delanoë voted without opposition last week to grant €100,000 for France's first gay and lesbian archive. With a goal of increasing understanding and tolerance, the archive is planned to house publications, film screenings, a website, forums, and exhibits, with a section devoted to the treatment of French gays and lesbians under Nazi occupation.
But German federal government funding for a foundation to advance the civil rights of gays and lesbians appears to have been stalled indefinitely in an upper house committee. In June, Germany's lower house had approved annual grants of €3.75 million to support a foundation named for the pioneering researcher and advocate Magnus Hirschfeld. The move had been intended in part as compensation for the Nazi regime's destruction of the burgeoning gay and lesbian civil rights movement of the 1930s.
Tel Aviv this week gave final approval to regulations prohibiting marital status discrimination in city services. Any two cohabitants, including gay and lesbian couples, can file a declaration that will qualify them for discounts and benefits previously reserved for married couples and blood kin. Those benefits apply at city events and institutions such as cultural facilities and swimming pools. This modest legal recognition of unmarried couples is all that's within the city's power to extend, anything more being controlled by Israeli national laws, which give no status even to unmarried heterosexual couples.
Nearly 400 couples have registered their relationships in Finland in the first 6 months since the creation of legal partnerships there. 211 male couples and 178 female couples have formalized their relationships, gaining legal status equal to traditional marriage for most purposes except parental rights.
Catholic bishops in Switzerland this week stood aside from the growing movement towards legal recognition of same-gender couples there. In a formal statement, the Swiss Bishops' Conference said it was not opposed to civil status for gay and lesbian relationships of the kind established last year in the Geneva Canton or approved by a landslide public vote last week in the Zurich Canton. The bishops even said that such status would do away with discrimination over inheritance and in other areas. They were concerned only to reserve marriage services exclusively for heterosexual couples, denying blessing ceremonies to same-gender couples. They also affirmed that the priesthood is open to gay men who remain celibate, although each case would be considered individually. They even suggested that a predisposition toward homosexuality can even give them a particular charisma. The bishop's statement went on to deplore injustices carried out against homosexuals in the past and even asked forgiveness for those cases where there was discrimination in the name of the Christian faith. It continued, "While the bishops reprove homosexual acts, they repeat emphatically that they do not reject homosexual people who are valuable individuals who are often pushed aside."
Catholic schools in Scotland will be including homosexuality in their sex education programs under new curriculum guidelines from the Catholic Education Commission. The new Guidelines for Teaching Relationships and Moral Education to Catholic Children in Scotland, developed over 2 years of discussion, update sex ed for the first time in 30 years. The guidelines admit that sexual orientation is not the same for everyone and allow discussion of homosexuality by students at least 16 years of age.
In the civil sector, the Scottish Executive is warning judges and sheriffs to avoid the use of anti-gay, sexist, and racist language in a handbook to be distributed later this year. Among other things, it prohibits the use of opposite gender terms to describe gay men and lesbians, and the assumption that HIV infection equates with homosexuality.
Edinburgh's leading HIV service for gay men was hit by arson this week. The attack on the Gay Men's Health Center came at a time when no one was in the building but did thousands of pounds worth of damage, despite quick and effective response by firefighters. Police suspect the attack was motivated by homophobia. Center staff will continue to offer services, which ironically include a hotline for gay bashing victims.
And finally, a romantic tragedy in southeastern India was reported this week by the Tamil newspaper Dinatanti. Both police and the Indian lesbi, gay, and transgender civil rights group Sangama are investigating the discovery of two apparent suicides in Tamil Nadu's Satyamangalam forest. 27-year-old Geetha Lakshmi and 26-year-old Sumathi had lived together for 3 years at a yoga center in Coimbatore until their lesbian relationship was discovered and they were thrown out. They had to return to their separate family homes, but each arranged to visit the Benari Aman temple on the same day in late September. In a forest nearby, they took poison together, and their bodies were discovered 4 days later. They left two heartbreaking letters. Their joint letter to the yoga center's guru said, "After coming out, we thought and realized we committed a big mistake. We cannot survive in this society. Please forgive us." Sumathi's letter to her father said, "This society will not accept our relationship. We cannot live apart from each other. That is why we made this decision. Whether you bury us or burn us, do not separate us from each other." Their grieving families respected their last wish, burning their bodies together in a single pyre.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 5th, 2002, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
Bertrand Delano, the openly gay mayor of Paris, was stabbed in the stomach as he was greeting the public during an all-night party at City Hall on October 6th. He was participating in the French capital's Sleepless Night Festival, with museums and tourist attractions staying open all night for special concerts and other artistic events. The suspect is described as a 39-year-old devout Muslim who reportedly told police that he doesn't like politicians or gays and that he has strong religious views that homosexuality is unnatural. The man has a criminal record and has previously been treated for psychiatric problems. Deputy Mayor Christophe Gérard called him a clearly deranged person. Delano required 3 hours of surgery and was to be hospitalized for about a week, but he is expected to make a full recovery.
I wanted to put inside all my obsessions about women, about femininity, about family, about movies, about actresses.
Murder, music, and a motley crew of characters played by France's finest actresses mark a departure for the openly gay director of sitcom and Under the Sand. You'll hear about this new twist in François Ozon's career and the twisted plot of his latest film, Eight Women, later in the program. Uzi Evans certainly has his work cut out for him. In late September, the Israeli scientist, professor, retired army colonel, and gay activist was appointed by the left-wing Meretz Party to fill out the remaining term of a retiring member of the Israeli parliament called the Knesset. This Way Out correspondent Eran Sikurel wanted to know how Evans adjusting to his new role.
Uzi Evans, on the next November, you'll be the first openly gay Knesset member in Israel. Are you excited?
I'm paralyzed. Excited is not the right word. I did not expect it to happen so soon, and I'm still dazed. The media blitz was unbelievable, and I had 2 days of continuous attacks by the media. I've been in 6 or 7 TV programs and endless talk shows, and so I'm quite tired.
How do you explain the media interest, such a huge media interest?
Israel is portrayed as a very religious, very conservative country, and the fact that Israel can have a gay member in the Knesset is something that people are not used to.
Why did it take so long to get an openly gay Knesset member?
I started my political career only in 1995, and I think this is a very short time. And it could happen only because I am in a very liberal and open-minded party, which is called Meretz.
What are the changes that, in your view, should be added to the Israeli law book that will make it more gay-friendly?
I have to be very careful because the time that this Knesset will be in session will be at most 1 year. I have my doubts whether I will be able to pass any significant legislator in that period of time, but I must stress that we already have quite a sizable number of laws that are very advanced compared to other countries, less advanced compared to other countries. So, for instance, we have a non-discrimination law in the workplace already. There have been precedents of gay couple spouses' social benefits. The military has abolished discrimination against gays. And there are several other laws, so we are not so bad off as it might seem.
And in your very short term, on what are you going to start and focus?
I'm a scientist, I'm an educator, I have some background knowledge in science and technology and also strategic systems in the military. In addition to that, I will try to increase the number of laws that protect gay couples and increase the number of benefits that they can have.
You're talking about the legal rights of Israeli soldiers. You're responsible for the fact that there is equality for soldiers in the Israeli army. Maybe you can elaborate or describe the situation that brought this change in 1993, am I right?
Yes, it came about after I was the first public figure that came out in the Knesset, and I told the story how I was discharged from the military because they found out that I was gay. The reaction was very positive. Within a very short time, we were discussing with the military committee on how to change the rules. Rabin was then the prime minister. We changed the rules. The new rule started with a very frank statement. There will be no discrimination against gay and lesbian soldiers in recruitment, placement, or advancement. And that was signed into law by the chief of staff at that time, who was Barak. And it all started with a simple speech. I was not a member of any political organization at that time. The main result of that speech was not only that we achieved an immediate target, but that the media treatment of gays have changed radically. We are now not afraid to come out. Our community has grown. Many, many, many people followed me and came out in public. We can now organize gay parades in Tel Aviv, numbering more than 30,000 people. This is a very sharp change in a very short time. It's a non-issue anymore. Nobody asks. Nobody can use this as a pretext for not serving. Gay soldiers are treated equally. Nobody even is interested in the question anymore.
You mentioned that you really have a very short term in the Knesset and that a lot of changes can't be done in such a short term. So what is the importance of your service in the Knesset?
It's more a symbolic act. It's the fact that we have broken a glass ceiling. We are now publicly recognized as a sector of the Israeli mosaic that composed of our state. We are now legally part of the political system. Politicians can now declare that they are gay and still be elected. So it is mostly symbolic, and don't underestimate the value of symbol in our struggle.
A year from today, in the election time, Uzi Evin is going to be in the Knesset or out?
I certainly am hoping to be there for the next session, and I'll do all I can to get re-elected.
One of your statements 2 years ago, if I'm right, was that you're going to out closeted Knesset members. In what terms are you going to do that? Are you going to do that?
I think this has been played out of proportion. This was a statement I made when I was still a normal citizen, and I need to play it down. I do not enter the Knesset in order to hound other gay members, and there are other gay members there. I do not want to delve into that. I'm not going to do it.
What responses did you get in the past few days from Knesset members, from maybe ultra-Orthodox party leaders?
None of them contacted me, obviously, but I've got many phone calls from other members of the Knesset, and they were all congratulatory. Even the religious Orthodox people in the Knesset have changed the narrative that they used to attack us. They are now not using the description found in Leviticus, namely the death sentence for gays. They have realized that this is a non-starter. They have now shifted the rhetoric to something that deals with psychological disorder, deviation, out of the normal, things like that that we can argue back. I find it very encouraging that they have changed the tone already.
The Meretz Party has a good, rather good relationship with the Palestinian Authority. Are you going to use this position to try and make changes in the life situation of gays in the Palestinian Authority?
Gay Palestinians have no options but to escape to Israel, and there are many gay Palestinians who find shelter here in Tel Aviv. Sometimes they have spouses, and I know that they can remain in Tel Aviv once they realize that they cannot go back to the Palestinian Authority. The treatment of gays in the Palestinian Authority is horrible. Several have been tortured, several have been killed outright. But I want to mention that the main issue is the gay rights in Tel Aviv. I am an Israeli, and I will take care of the Israelis first.
That was Uzi Evin, who will be the first openly gay person to serve in the Israeli Knesset, talking with This Way Out's Eran Sekural in Tel Aviv.
And I'm Maria.
And together we're Zrazy.
And we're crazy about This Way Out,
the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
Mix a drawing room murder mystery with a cheesy 1960s musical, stir in 8 equal parts for the top actresses in France, and add the decidedly queer sensibilities of Out director François Ozon. Lightly top with twists, turns, and shocking revelations. Let bake for 110 minutes and serve the resulting confection called 8 Women on a silver screen. This Way Out's Steve Pride visits Ozon's kitchen for a closer look at his recipe for success.
François Ozon is 34 years old, brilliant, openly gay, and as handsome as a movie star. Meeting with him for croissants, coffee, and conversation about his new film was not a hardship.
Hello, this is François Ozon, director of 8 Women, which is a kind of whodunit mixed with a musical. So it's a very experimental movie. And I have a cast with the 8 most famous French actresses. Catherine Deneuve, Isabelle Huppert, Emmanuel Béat, Fanny Ardant, Virginie Doyen, who else? I don't remember, Ludivine Sagnier, Firmin Richard. I wanted first to make a movie about women. I had just finished before a film called Under the Sun with Charlotte Rampling, which was very successful in France. And I wanted to work again with actresses, but this time with many actresses. I wanted to make a portrait of a group, because Under the Sun was only about one character. And